This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Sky Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Holocult. So you know what that means. You've chosen us to hang out with you to get you through the work week. And for that, we're thankful. Not thankful that you had to start the work week off like this, but thankful that you chose us.
Not thankful that you had to go to work, period. Yeah. But
we get that.
Yeah.
It sucks. Today we're going to look into a little bit of Bigfoot alien crossover here.
It's going to be good.
It's interesting.
This is going to be good. We haven't done one like this in a hot minute. It's going to take us back to our roots.
Kind of feels like the Philip experiment a little bit. Like, makes you question what is a Bigfoot? You know, it's probably going to cause some controversy from the, you know, ape side and from the metaphysical side, but what really is a Bigfoot?
Well, and not to jump to any part of your show, but I think you already like have the answers to what it actually is.
Yeah.
It got listed. So
the CIA has confirmed what Bigfoot is.
Yeah. We're gonna get that. We're gonna get there, and it's gonna be good.
It's gonna be something good. But if you're new here, thanks for hanging out with us. If you don't want to listen to me and Kyle do a bunch of housework here, show tidiness, you're going to want to skip forward to about 6 minutes, and that's when we get into the goodies. But if you're not new and you like to listen to us chit-chat, go through the spiel, hang out. So check us out on all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast, and we will be there. Come and be part of the community. Join the cult. It's a good time. We don't do anything weird, I promise. And it's just fun thing to do. If you want a different kind of experience, you can go over to the YouTube, subscribe, set the notification bell, and you can see us in the flesh saying these words that you're listening to. You see our faces, our wonderful, handsome faces. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on a future episode of the Listener Experience Show, Kyle has some things for you.
I do. It's easy. Show notes. If you're too lazy to click the show notes, which I thoroughly understand, hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. It's that easy. Send your story there. We will get it. We will file it. We will air it. And fame and fortune will find you. It's that simple.
Yeah, just the same as it has found us.
It's that simple. It's that simple. And today, giving thanks, I'm going to revert back to Eric from Uncomfortable. Definitely check his stuff out if you finished all of our stuff. But I also want to keep everybody on hold for two individuals that are always in our camp. And I know they're flirting with the idea of starting stuff. So once they start stuff, like Paranormal Trucker and Brother John, Once they start stuff, we'll start hammering out their stuff.
We're manifesting it.
Yeah.
Can't. Yeah. I'm stoked. I hope that everything lines up. It's gonna be sick.
Yeah.
If you'd like to support the show, hop on over to Patreon for a mere $7 a month. You can get some extra Hollow Sky goodies. And by that, I mean extra episodes. For example, the one I got pinned right now is the Teriyaki episode, which kind of piggybacks off of Kyle's last two episodes with the OKC bombing. Definitely going to want to check that out. Adds some layers to the fucked up shit that was that whole scenario. You also get these episodes early. You get them without ads. You get casket breath jams. You get kind of a early merch drops. You get notified. Sometimes we put coupons out, all kinds of stuff over there. Check that out. Go to hollowskypodcast.com. We got a merch store over there. You can look at some shirts, look at some hats, look at some stickers. We're blasting through the back stock so we can get some 2025 drops out. So as soon as that happens, we'll let you know, Patreon people first.
Just about everything in the store is on sale right now. Like all the shirts are anyways.
Yeah. Gonna wanna peep that.
Yeah.
Also, share the show word of mouth. Anywhere you talk about weird stuff, throw our name in the hat, get it out there. If you got other paranormal content creators you want us to link up with, if we can get our schedules together, we will gladly do that and put something together. Then you can go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. If I find it, I'll gladly shout you out. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from BooBooKitty877. BooBooKitty says, love this podcast. 5 stars. This show is interesting, and Steve and Kyle are hugely entertaining. Hope you guys get your monster sponsorship someday. Well, BooBooKitty, first off, thanks for taking the time to leave us these lovely words and wishes and the 5-star. So we would still take a monster sponsorship, but me and Kyle have kicked the habit.
We did.
So I almost fell off the wagon this weekend. It's hard, okay?
It is hard.
It's hard.
It is hard. Getting older, trying to make some better changes for our life. That's all.
And I just want an ultra sunrise so bad.
Dude, I would give to rewind time to my monster assault days.
Yeah.
It takes me back.
It's sad.
It's like reliving the glory days.
Yeah. I wish I had one right now.
If I had one right now and I took a swig, not only would I be juiced up, but it would be like flashbacks of the good times.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Back the simpler times.
Yeah, yeah.
But we would still fully welcome a monster sponsorship.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If for nothing else, just the merch.
Yeah.
It'd be sick.
Yeah.
All right, where are we at? 6 minutes? Ooh, 6.5. Here we go.
We're solid. We're solid.
Okay, we're going to dive into some Bigfoot alienness.
Oh, let's get it.
All right, we're going to start out asking a question. What is Sasquatch? What is a Bigfoot?
That's a long debated question.
Yeah, it's got the Bigfoot community and the paranormal community up in arms, right?
Mm.
You got your lost great ape half. And you got your metaphysical interdimensional Bigfoot half, and apparently they do not get along.
Where do you sit?
At this point, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Can you prior to this point, where did you sit?
I wasn't before I got deep into this realm of where we're at right now. I was more on a biological side.
Interesting. I was more metaphysical.
Were you?
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Like, because we, like, when it comes to paranormal, we're kind of like, kind of take the.
We do a lot. Yeah, we do a lot. Yeah.
I always thought it was like a great ape. Yeah. But now, especially when you get like some weird cases out there, like something fucky's going on.
I'm with it. I'm ready to hear it. I'm ready to piss off
everybody.
The communities. Bring in communities, piss communities off. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. So that particular question branches off into a bunch of other questions. Like, is it a biological entity? Is it an unrecorded great ape? A missing link in the evolution of man? Is it an interdimensional being? Is it a ghost? Is it an ultra-terrestrial? Or maybe it's something out of this world.
I'm fucking with it.
So what we're going to be looking at today, a couple of interesting cases that maybe lean that direction. You know, maybe Bigfoot is an alien entity, right? It comes from a bunch of solid UFO cases that perhaps Bigfoot isn't necessarily a missing link between man and ape. There are cases of Bigfoot being UFO pilots.
I've heard those.
Did they land here for like exploratory purposes? Or are they some sort of proxy specimen being put out as like guinea pigs to kind of test out our environment to see how well they would exist here?
I hadn't really considered that one very often, you know.
It's interesting.
They are, because they do get spotted in conjunction with UFOs quite often.
It's weird.
Where they're on the ground, the UFOs are in the sky. I've never contemplated them being like a proxy, though, where they get put out to test the waters, like sending something out into the minefield, so to speak.
It kind of makes sense. Because you hear about the robots, you know, the UFOs put robots out. It makes sense to put out like a biological being to see what would happen. And, I mean, aliens are probably dumb. Like, so they're like, this is the closest thing we can make to a human.
I guess I buy it if it would make more sense to me that if Bigfoot would essentially be the slave race at that point.
Oh, yeah, that's another theory we get into later on.
Okay, because like Bigfoot obviously has intelligence, right?
And brute strength.
Right. But I guess I just wouldn't imagine something with that level of intelligence just being okay with being the... I'll walk into the minefield. Yeah. I'll go ahead and do it.
We'll go out here and get shot at by hunters.
Yeah.
I want to shout out the Swerve Podcast because they did an episode on this a couple months back, and it's awesome. You guys are going to go check it out. A lot of the cases are the same because there's only so many like Bigfoot cases in regards to aliens you can really find and look into, but definitely go check them out. We're going to start with the oldest one that I found, and it's always the starting point for anybody like talking about this, and it's from 1888, the Crazy Bears case. So in 1888, a white man who was kind of intermingling and living among Native Americans in the Rocky Mountains recorded an extraordinary account in his private diary. So this man was pretty well integrated into this local tribe, kind of was well off with them, right? So he journaled about this encounter that he had. To preface this, this journal was kept undiscovered for 100 years, right? So this guy didn't write this account for any sort of like notoriety, any sort of fame. He was long dead before anybody even discovered it, because his grandson discovered it and put out what he had claimed to have witnessed, right? So this is an encounter that he had. The tribe took him to this cave where they said these crazy bear creatures lived. He actually went and saw one of the crazy bears. So it's a creature that the tribe believed to be powerful. It was hairy, naked, and resembled a large human. He was taken to this cave and shown one of these crazy bears. The creature's existence was linked to the tribe's belief in a phenomena where, quote, a small moon, which we are led to believe is a flying saucer at this point.
Well, yeah.
Would descend from the stars. Men in shiny clothing with short hair would emerge from the craft and release one or two of these crazy bears into the environment, and then they would travel back into the stars. The tribe believed that these beings would bring powerful medicine, and they treated the crazy bears with reverence and would help in feeding and protecting them. The crazy bears were described as muscular, powerfully built beings, the size of a large human, but with broader chest and longer, stronger arms. The creatures lived in caves or underground, in family groups, with simple bedding and no other possessions. They were described as flesh eaters, living and hunting like bears. Although they avoided contacts with humans, they could be aggressive when provoked. again, the descriptions in the diary written by someone 100 years prior to it ever being found kind of goes on to show that this wasn't like some sort of hoax or done for any sort of clout. And that was the earliest one I could find, which is, it's interesting that it's linked to a small moon descending from the stars.
I like that description too.
And the fact that that whatever was on the craft is different from the crazy bears, right?
Yeah.
The men in the shiny clothing, which kind of falls in line with the spaceman, you know?
Oh yeah, sure. Sure. And also their description of the crazy bear drastically makes me think of the Lovelock giants.
Yep. I thought the same thing. Living in caves. Living in caves. People.
Yeah.
Thought the same stuff.
Is that how they reference flesh eater, like people, or is it?
I'm assuming animal? So. I'm assuming flesh eater meant probably human flesh.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. It doesn't specify in any of the cases that I saw, or in any of the sources that I saw, but mm-hmm. I'm assuming it was probably like.
And if that's the case, then it also does kind of lead a little bit of credence to the Bigfoot / missing persons maps that have been put together.
Yeah.
And overlapped, and along with caves and so on and so forth.
Thanks, aliens, for releasing a human eating gigantic primate here.
It is interesting.
These aren't in chronological order or anything, so I just kind of found them, threw them in, let them roll. We're going to fast forward here a little bit to 1973, and a woman by the name of Miss Rafa Hetfield. She and her 13-year-old son were sleeping in their trailer in Cincinnati, Ohio. Of course it happened in Ohio, because Ohio. On the morning of October 21st, 1973, Rafa rose at around 2:30 a.m. to get a drink from the kitchen when she noticed strange lights in the adjoining parking lot. Looking out the window, her attention was drawn to this odd, inexplicable cone shape of light. She said it kind of looked like a bubble umbrella sitting. She said it was about 7 feet in diameter. Nearby, she spotted a grayish, quote, ape-like creature with a large, downward angled snout, no neck, and a sizable waist. Moving slowly, it entered into the light, and about 5 minutes later, both the ape man and the UFO disappeared. So, it's weird.
And already I kind of do have that vibe of not so much that Bigfoot's an alien. Oh, like only in the description of like what we have as aliens. But it does give me a vibe of like the aliens may have, what would they call that? Almost like seeded them in other places.
It's
like I kind of have that vibe.
It's strange.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of which one it is, but there was one that there, I don't know. There's some weird cases. Anyway, we're going to go on to another one that happened in 1973 here, in the countryside town near Uniontown. This shout out to Stan Gordon as well, because Stan Gordon is a researcher, paranormal researcher and journalist who went ham on the paranormal aspect of Bigfoot, so much so that he even opened a hotline where people could call and report their Bigfoot experiences. So he got like cream of the crop Bigfoot encounters. So he's went on to write a couple books about like kind of this weird, not only Bigfoot experiences, but kind of this crossover of Bigfoot and UFO phenomenon.
Bro, and like I just had an epiphany that I'm sure a million other people have already had, but it does make lots of sense to me. If it is, like, I am like already not even 20 minutes into the episode, I am almost already ready to change camps.
It makes you think. It's one of those like Philip experiment things where you're like, man.
But like, here's my thought. If you looked at it as like captive and captor, and they took Bigfoot from another planet, that could explain so much, like of their attributes of being able to, like, because there's been that theory of them having translucent hair and they could, you know, that would help them cloak and so on and so forth.
Yep.
And then you take into consideration that there's a lot of scientific study that may claim that even octopi are not from here.
Yeah.
And so if you like just make that subtle conjunction combination right there, you're like, oh shit, that could actually be a thing.
Your Bigfoot is an octopus.
Yeah. Obviously.
Would be terrifying.
It would be terrifying.
Goddamn octofoot.
but yeah. doesn't it like add up though? Because their attributes on a different world.
That's one
could
of
be
the,
so significantly different than here.
That's one of the theories, like, because I just jot down some theories and that. Like,
I think I'm with that.
I'll get into it. I want to drop I'm it now, but that. I'll just wait.
Because then you could contemplate the story of maybe the big feats that are here. They escaped the alien overlords. They hid on our planet, and then repopulated, or maybe the. The alien overlord just didn't give two fucks about Bigfoot and just left it here. They're just like, whatever.
Yeah.
We're not going back for Stinky Bob. He stinks.
just let him hash it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this one, again, Uniontown, Pennsylvania. That's where Stan Gordon is based out of, so he did a lot of work in Pennsylvania. I didn't go through, like, the Chestnut Siege and that kind of stuff because that in itself could be a whole episode on its own, so I didn't really touch on that. So Gordon said about 15 people observed a large red object in the sky slowly moving to the ground around 9 p.m. A farmer's son and two young boys went to investigate. They approached a pasture where they heard a high-pitched whining and sounds like a baby crying, which is a commonality in Bigfoot encounters. You get the weird
That's gross.
Baby cry thing. They then saw the object about 250 feet away, either on the ground or right above it. It was now a half sphere with a bright white dome and a flat bottom. Gordon said, quote, they can't believe what they're seeing. Then their attention is drawn to a barbed wire fence 75 feet away. Two tall figures slowly walking behind each other in that direction, or in their direction, toward the 15 people. The fence posts are 6 feet tall. The first one stood over 8 feet. The one behind it is over 7. They are upright, bipedal creatures with long, dark, brownish, gray matted hair hanging down off their body and off their arms, down toward the ground. The hair is extremely long. They again have no neck, which was another thing pointed out in the previous example where Rafa saw Bigfoot.
Oh, no neck.
They were, quote, making baby crying and whining sounds. They had glowing green eyes about the size of a half dollar. Gordon said one of the boys ran away and the other told the farmer's son to shoot at it. He fired two tracer rounds over the creature's heads. So he's saying, hey, listen, we're not playing games. The largest of the two creatures makes a whining sound and reaches out as if to grab the tracer. And at that moment, the object in the field disappears. The sound goes out. When it disappears, they see a luminous area on the ground. And at that point, the creatures slowly turn and walk back into the woods. The farmer's son fired at the creature, but they continued walking into the woods. The witnesses ran back to their truck and called the state police. Although he says he has no answers, Gordon said, more and more cases with UFOs and Bigfoot and other strange creatures lead me to believe that the possibility we could, with some of these, be dealing with extraterrestrial creatures or something. For lack of a better term, interdimensional. This one stands out to me because it's almost as if the Sasquatch controlled the UFO that was in the field.
Yeah.
Because whenever they started firing on him, he raised his hand up and then the UFO disappeared. Which, that scene in my brain is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Him just being like, ba-dum, and then the UFO tracks off. And it's almost like he's not even concerned at the fact that they're shooting at him.
Yeah. I caught that too, where they didn't give a shit.
No, we're just going to go back into the woods.
I don't, it could also be that there's still controllers in the UFO. They gave a hand signal, and there the UFO is like, all right, we're out.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah, there's that possibility.
Because if you put the Bigfoot on Earth to interact with humans, they're going to be the ones that have the most human interaction, obviously. Yeah. So if they're on the ground dealing with these people and they give me a signal to get the hell out of here, they're hostile. I'm not going to question it. I'm just going to bounce.
And maybe Bigfoot was chosen because it's one of the few things that have been found out there that closely resemble us.
That's what I was thinking too. That makes the best sense, because if it is a primate, because we are primates essentially. We're just shorter, hairless, smaller footed Bigfoots.
Yeah.
So that does make sense. Next, we have a case from 1974 from Frederick, Wisconsin, with a man by the name of William Bozick. Brief summary of the case. On December 2nd, 1974, at 10:30 p.m., dairy farmer William Bozick, age 68, well, owner of a dairy farm, that's why he's a dairy farmer, obviously, for 40 years, owned it close to the city of Frederick in the northwestern part of Polk County, Wisconsin. He had attended the meeting of the Fanner Cooperative in Frederick and was driving back by car to his rural farmhouse on the southeast side of Frederick, when at approximately a mile from his farm, he spotted an object on the left side of the road in front of him. He was driving slowly because there was a lot of fog. The headlights of the car reflected on this object, and he slowed down while approaching it. The object was motionless and seemed to be between 8 to 10 feet in height. It was not luminous, but it did reflect the headlights and had a transparent sector resembling glass in the shape of a shell or a bell, conical with a peak at the top of whatever this machine was, which was lighted, and in which Bozick saw an occupant, of which the top of the body was visible, who had his arms raised above his head. Although Bozick spoke about a man, the character or the creature who had a head and two arms showed characteristics that were not necessarily human. Stiff hair or hairs came out the side of its head, whose face itself was hairless and a beardless chin. Its eyes were large and protruding. Its ears were described as pointing on 8 centimeters and resembling those of a young calf. It seemed to be dressed of some sort of tight-fitting covering of brown fur or covered with brown hair on the higher part of its body, including the arms. No collar or features were visible of whatever this possible suit was. The bottom of the character was lost from the sight in the fog, which dissimulated the bottom of the craft as well. Bozick was very frightened, but saw the face of the creature also showed signs of fear. He had slowed down almost to a halt when he arrived at the object, but overcome with fear, he accelerated to drive away from the object. When he did that, the inside of his car became darker, as if the headlights had weakened. And then he heard a noise of friction, like that of branches sweeping across the top of his car. Back home, it tried to look at the sector where the encounter had happened from an vantage point of his house, but he couldn't see anything because of all the fog. The next morning, he returned to the location in search of any landing traces or evidence of the presence of the object, but he found nothing. Except that, according to one version of the story, a flattened circular area in the field. Bozick did not tell what he'd seen to anybody during almost a month, not even his wife or his son, but finally decided to reveal the incident, apparently by contacting a newspaper which published a story. 2 APRO investigators met him, and it was said that Bozick was sincere and a man with a good reputation in his community. Understanding the skepticism of the newspaper and neighbors, Bozick commented that he would welcome a lie detector test to prove that he was not lying. The story then entered the ufological and Freudian literature as examples of Bigfoot's piloting a flying saucer, where Bozick rather seems to have thought that it was some sort of space creature instead of a Bigfoot. So we've got a possible Sasquatch piloting a flying saucer.
Hey, Holocult. Do you remember a time where if you wanted weed, you had to meet up with some sketchy dude behind the dumpster in a Denny's parking lot? We don't have to do that anymore, because you can get federally legal THC shipped right to your front door. How can you get that done? With Mood. Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC right to your door. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com/HOLO and enter coupon code HOLO. I'm talking high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. Every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to mood.com/HOLO, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use coupon code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I mean, it sounds definitely sounds like a Bigfoot.
Yeah, we don't have any size reference to really compare it to, but the fact that he said he was wearing a fursuit, that he didn't have any indications of it being a suit, kind of sat like this is a Bigfoot.
Yeah, and the description of a fursuit is fucking bizarre.
Rather, I mean,
tight. It was tight fitting clothing with hair on it.
What's the other option? A furry piloting the UFO?
Right. Yeah.
Also, not the first case of a Bigfoot piloting a UFO.
Yeah, we've definitely heard that.
I heard one. I can't remember where I got the source. Maybe it was Beyond Creepy. I can't remember. But a teenager was outside just hanging out, sitting on his back porch when he noticed something flying through the air. Turned out it was a German Shepherd. German Shepherd was suspended beneath a disc, silver disc craft. And as he's watching this craft and the German Shepherd is getting closer and closer and closer to him, so much so that it almost passes directly over him. When the craft does pass over, the bottom of the disc becomes translucent and he can see in. And the kid sees essentially two humanoid figures sitting and almost like controlling whatever this craft is that's carrying the German Shepherd. He said they were both covered in hair, but the thing that stood out the most was they had very human-like feet, but they were big. They were well bigger than any regular human's feet, and they were like a pinkish purple color. And that's all I can remember. But yeah,
well, they just wanted a friend.
I'm hoping that's the case.
Not dinner?
Yeah, which is bizarre.
It is bizarre.
That they just pick it, like they're not trying to be nonchalant about it. They're just... What if German Shepherds are also proxies dropped here by aliens?
Well, German Shepherds are generally pretty cool, so.
Sometimes it helps out, sometimes it don't.
Yeah.
Another kind of short case here, August 1976. There was a mass series of UFO sightings around Rutland, British Columbia, Canada. Several men and their children then, right after, saw a hairy ape-like entity 6 to 7 feet tall roaming about the mountainside directly after the UFO sighting. They also found a clump of hair where they saw these apes. The hair was then sent to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police for identification. Laboratory analysis confirmed that it was some sort of primate hair, but could not be matched to any known species on Earth.
And of course, in regards to Bigfoot, it does make the most sense that it does have, but it's also weird. But it highly resembles primate.
Mm-hmm.
But what's crazy, now that I think about it, it's fucking weird, and I'm surprised we don't hear this more often. It's weird that it has primate attributes, just not anything on our planet.
Which leads credence to your whole, maybe they were brought here against their will.
Yeah. I mean, that, how else does that happen? Right? Like, why does the DNA have primate in it? However, it's not from this planet. Yeah, outside of us not discovering it.
You know, how would they know? Like, it would have to have primate similarities, yeah, essentially. Yeah.
But it's also just bizarre to think that, you know, you lean more that they came from a different planet. It's bizarre to think that another planet's DNA is similar enough to register on our planet.
Yeah.
That's fucking weird. That, to me, that clearly suggests seeding.
Leads back to Project Serpo, where they were doing DNA splicing things.
That too.
To a bunch of different sort of entities from all their different kind of planets and galaxies, universes. So the last big one I got here is got some interesting notes behind it, right? So in the 1960s, the CIA investigated an alleged simultaneous encounter with Bigfoot and a UFO at Presque Isle State Park near Erie, Pennsylvania, of all places. What an appropriate place to have a Bigfoot UFO encounter. The reports were documented as part of the infamous Project Blue Book, which I did look up the report and found it. There's 120 pages to this report of the Bigfoot UFO encounter.
So it's a legit report then, like legit.
Yeah, and I'm going to post them to the Patreon for our Patreon folks. So we're going to talk a little bit about Presque Isle here. It's a peninsula arcing over Lake Erie from Presque Isle Bay, one of the state's most visited summer tourist attractions. On the night of July 31st, 1966, four tourists from New York found their car stuck in the sand after spending the day just chilling on Beach 6 of the peninsula. One of the group's member, Gerald LaBelle, was sent to call a tow truck driver while the others remained in the car. Around 10 p.m., police on patrol stopped to ask if they were all right. After being informed that help was on the way, the officer said that they would check back in an hour. When the police returned about 35 minutes later, the group said that it was witnessing, quote, something weird going on up there, pointing to a location in the sky above a wooded area nearby. One of the group's members, Douglas Tibbetts, went to investigate along with the two officers. The two women in the group, Betty Klim and Anita Hafley, remained in the car while they waited for everyone to return. Tibbetts and the officer walked roughly 300 yards up the beach before hearing the honking of the car's horn, obviously turning around to hurry back to see what the commotion was. Klim and Hafley, clearly shaken, said they witnessed a dull black shape, bigger than a man, big head, broad shoulders, arm-like appendages, but no hands, no visible face, and almost like it had its back turned to us in front of the car before it lumbered off into the bushes when Klim blew the horn. A scratching sound on the hood or roof of the car was also reported. I'm going to get back to this, right? So, the UFO was described as being an angular craft emitting red and orange lights before descending down to the beach, where it radiated a beam of white light that tracked something into the woods. But eventually, it took off at an incredible speed to the north, shortly after the woman encountered the humanoid figure. In the early hours of the following morning, officers patrolled the area where the craft allegedly landed. The report says that they noticed the presence of two unusual triangular marks in the area coinciding with the craft's landing zone. The officers writing the report, "I have no reasonable explanation of the UFO, as described by the witnesses," and they stated that the witnesses were credible. Investigations of the case were eventually abandoned, remaining unsolved to this day. Project Blue Book report dismisses the group's testimony as a possible hoax, though no definitive conclusions were made. Later on, a local television station aired a segment some decades later interviewing a man who said that the UFO was a hot air balloon that he had ordered and built from an issue of Boys Life magazine. But this man This man's claim implies that the homemade hot air balloon would have had to have traveled directly in a straight line, precisely due north for several miles, carried by the wind without straying off course, and also have lights that flashed and followed a Bigfoot into the woods.
I love that he got it from Boys Live.
Yeah. Despite the fact that the witnesses' accounts describe something far more complex than a paper balloon, the man's testimony doesn't explain the strange marks left on the beach where the craft supposedly landed, baffling CIA investigators. Could the Preck Isle incident be a result of a, quote, window area, which we're going to talk about a little bit later? Again, there's 120 pages to this report that I'll share on the Patreon, but this is Kyle's favorite part here. If you go through, the Blue Book report, do anybody want to guess what they write off the Sasquatch as? So you got to remember, like the UFO, they're baffled by, and they got legitimate police officers out there taking photos of the landing marks from the UFO, which are in the files that you'll see. But the CIA decided to say that this taller than a man bipedal creature with a head, broad shoulders, long arms, no hands, was a raccoon.
I mean, when you think about it, it really does make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
If you really chew it around, it makes the most sense.
Yeah.
It's accurate.
That what a way to... Can you imagine being those women? You're looking at a UFO, and you're like, shit. So your dudes and the police go to hunt down the UFO. And at that point, right out in front of your car, after like dragging its non-hands all over the hood and the roof.
It's non-hands.
Yeah. You see a Bigfoot. And you're gross. Like, son of a bitch, this is a Bigfoot. Honk the horn. It scrambles off into the woods. This is after the UFO followed it around with a light. I mean, the paper hot air balloon followed it around with some sort of light beam. So now you're just left with this. You tell the CIA about it. You get the police officers to send photos of the landing to the CIA, and they're like, yeah, definitely a raccoon.
I just love the idea that they're like, we don't give a fuck about that raccoon. We got to figure out about this UFO over here. Lady, it's obviously a raccoon. Shut up. Stop it.
So the front page of the files, if you're on the Patreon, It's my favorite because it's project 10,073 on record, date, time, group, July 66, source civilian, number of objects 2, length of observation 5 minutes, ground visual, course northeast, obviously talking about the UFO.
Right.
Conclusion. They came to 3 conclusions. The lights remain unidentified. The indentions, where the UFO landed. The indentions that the cops sent to the CIA, not related to the above sighting. That's not
obviously, right?
Yeah. 3, it literally says monster, probably an animal, not related to the lights or the sighting that doesn't relate to the lights. The monster is just not in it at all, the raccoon. Monster, probable animal.
It's so good.
I love the just like
that is like the most dismissive official CIA document I think I've ever seen.
Yeah. So the lights, yeah, you did see some lights, but they're unidentified. Don't worry about them. The landing marks that we have pictures of, that's not related. How do you guys think that where you saw a UFO land, that there would be landing marks?
Idiots.
Dummies. Oh, the
idiots.
The Bigfoot you saw, you mean raccoon?
Yeah.
Also not related. Dummies.
Oh, it's so good. It is so good.
Yeah, it's cool. I got a couple other shorties here. There was a case out of Kentucky, I believe, where 2 women were driving in a car. Not necessarily UFO related, but still kind of weird. They witnessed two tall bipedal creatures walk across the road in front of their car. One of them carried in their hand, they said it was in between the size of a softball and a small basketball, a glowing orb of light. As the car approached, the glowing orb of light essentially engulfed the two Bigfoot and disappeared.
What the fuck?
Which is weird because you also hear of orbs being sighted in Bigfoot areas.
That's true. But that's what makes Bigfoot so fucking hard is that realistically, there are not many Bigfoot reports that are consistent.
No.
They change so drastically. Like you have a report of a gray alien. Pretty similar across the board. Like yeah. There might be some variances, but for the most part, kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Bigfoot is always so drastically different. Yeah. You hear of nice ones. You hear of ones that try to beat you up and throw rocks at you.
Yeah.
You hear of ones flying UFOs, carrying fucking orbs, doing all types of shit. I hope it's just sauce. Kurt Angle.
I do too.
That's what I really hope. When they say no neck, that's what I think of.
Yeah, that's not going to end up well for us if Bigfoot is Kurt Angle.
No. I think of Kurt Angle.
Angle slamming everyone.
That's exactly it.
I got another recent one here. I think it's from Finland, maybe? I can't remember. I watched it on YouTube.
Old Finny Foot.
But, man driving a car, as men do. Mm-hmm. And sees what he thinks is a balloon floating around in the sky, right?
Oh, okay.
As he gets closer, he realizes that's not a balloon. It's a man. Maybe a man-shaped balloon. Then he realizes that's bigger than a man. It's also covered in hair. It also has excessively large feet. That's a Bigfoot.
Flying?
Flying in the air.
All right. And once again, back to no Bigfoot story is the same.
Interestingly enough, it wasn't flying in the air. As he sat there and looked, it was essentially suspended beneath a large silver disc.
Oh, shit.
That was above, almost the same as the German Shepherd. Except this UFO had this Sasquatch essentially suspended below it. I don't know if he said that there were like ropes connected to it or if it was some sort of like, you know, tractor beam or some shit. But
it's got to be the tractor beam.
Yeah. It and has to be. He just sat and watched as this UFO with the Bigfoot took off. That's kind of a shitty thing. If they just kept it suspended below as it's like shooting off into orbit, yeah. That's kind of sus.
Maybe there's just a massive intergalactic war between big feets and aliens.
Satchmos and yeah. Sam Squanches and yeah. Aliens. So it poses, that's the last one I had. It poses a lot of like questions.
No, theories. It's more confusion than anything.
Yeah. So theories is Bigfoot is an alien. And again, he's an actual alien, comes here by UFO, controls the UFOs, is just kind of hanging out, exploring. That's one. That's one. How you feel about that one? Bigfoot is an alien controlling UFOs. Not all UFOs. So,
like, it... Unfortunately for me, it comes down to story. Like, everything, it's so fucking different. That's what sucks, is that everything is so drastically different. Like, yeah. Because you feel like there are stories where big, like, fit your initial narrative prior to this research. There are Bigfoot stories that sound 100% like it's a primate of the woods and there's nothing more, right? And then you got stories of him carrying fucking disco balls that make him turn invisible. And you're like, okay, well, that's not.
Wish I had one.
That's not a normal Bigfoot. Yeah. That's not normal at all. Then you have ones of them flying the craft. So what, do they just beat up the alien, the grays, and then take their ride? They just mugged them?
Unless Bigfoot is its own alien species, right? And it's doing its own thing, coming here, checking shit out. But it's also either, like my next here thing, and it is an alien proxy dropped off to study the surroundings and how to survive. So essentially, maybe Bigfoots inhabit a planet out in the middle of nowhere, and they're intelligent enough to do their own exploration, but mm-hmm. they're also constantly being swooped up by the Greys the same way that humans are, mm-hmm. and they're just being dropped off here to see how the world interacts with them.
Maybe.
Which makes us wonder if the people that are abducted and don't come back by aliens here, are we being dropped off on Bigfoot planet?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's mm-hmm. probably the best. That's probably the best question. Because I was thinking, if you turn it back too, you think of survival, like if the Gray is using it as, here you walk out into the minefield first. Well, you know, the funny thing is that the Bigfoot does make sense as to why you would drop it here for any type of purpose.
Because very human-like.
It is very human-like. However, it also doesn't make sense to me as some type of proxy outside of like a danger tester, because Grays are fucking nothing like us.
No, they're sus and I hate them.
Exactly. And they're little and they're creepy. And they do a bunch of weird shit to you.
And I'm going to put out a olive branch, a peace offering to the Sasquatch, that we can make a common enemy out of aliens. I know you may be an alien, which is sus, but if you're not, or if you think all the other aliens are sus, then the olive branch is extended from Hollow Sky to help us fight the aliens.
I'm not opposed to it.
Another theory that kind of piggybacks off what Kyle was saying here, Bigfoot is some sort of cosmic prisoner that the aliens have dropped off here on Earth, and the UFOs are essentially chasing them to see where they're at and what they're doing.
So then it is the enemy of my enemy.
Yes.
Is my friend.
See, that's why I put the olive branch out there.
That makes sense.
So we could get down.
Yeah, we definitely link.
And if
up.
I gotta fight, if I'm gonna have to fight one of the two, I'm gonna fight the aliens. Bro. If I gotta have somebody in my corner outside of Kyle, it's gonna be a Squanch.
Bro, we would basically have our own Chewbacca.
See, that's what the Swerve guys brought up about, like, soft disclosure. Yeah. The sci-fi world was already fucking with it.
Yeah.
They already knew.
Yeah. That means odds are you're Han Solo. And then I would probably be Luke, maybe.
I fuck with it.
Something like that.
I'm Darth Maul.
Are you, though?
No.
Okay.
That's the only Star Wars movie
I've ever seen. I feel like you're probably on the level of Han Solo.
That's the only Star Wars movie I ever saw. Was the Darth Maul one.
Well, that one's not as good.
That explains it.
The originals are decent.
That explains why I never watched any other ones.
The originals were decent.
Gonna catch a lot of hate for that. Shoot it over to the email.
That's whatever.
So, yeah, that's kind of where it ends with the Bigfoot being an alien. But there's other theories that, like, what if Bigfoot is a time traveler from the future? Right?
I feel like that's a stretch.
What if he's an evolved species of ape that has made it off planet that's coming back to check up?
I feel like that's a stretch, but it's not that big of a stretch.
Yeah. Bigfoot is a Nephilim.
Bigfoot also is not that far.
Bigfoot
of a stretch.
Is the product of fallen angels mingling with humans, you know, single, ready to mingle.
The bad thing about that, even in conjunction of what you just said before, the time traveling Bigfoot, the sad thing is that I can link them to extraterrestrials regardless.
Yeah.
Because if it's a time traveler, maybe aliens don't have the capacity to time travel yet, but they can detect it. And they're like, hey, we need to pick this asshole up.
This is sus.
Yeah. Or if they're Nephilim, why would the aliens not want to abduct them and get their DNA or do something crazy with you? You know what I mean?
That's like, true. I like it. Bigfoot's interdimensional and can quantumly leap in and out of our existence.
Why not?
It can just go from one dimension to the next, bada bing, bada boom, you do know, whatever it wants. Because you hear cases of Bigfoots just disappearing.
Well, this is what I can tell you, all right?
Good.
I have scientific evidence that can back this up, all right? I saw it when I was a kid.
Scientific evidence.
I do.
I'm not questioning.
I'm not exaggerating at all. I can back this up. And I'm sure you saw it too. If you didn't, you're a bum ass dude. But
fucking shit bum.
You are a shit bum. So, I mean, we essentially saw this as children, you know, my era, when Michael Jordan, the GOAT, he went to Looney Tunes, dude.
Yeah.
Space Jam.
Alternate dimension.
He went to another dimension.
I get it.
And they came here. They came here first. They got him to go there.
Soft disclosure, bro.
Soft disclosure, man.
Yep.
Fuck. I just blew my own mind.
You did. Which, I mean, because you do hear Bigfoot's disappearing, right? Disappearing right in the middle of whatever. But you also heard Bigfoot carrying the disco ball disappeared himself.
Yeah.
You hear stories of Bigfoot shapeshifting into other things. Yeah. Bigfoot is a fey shapeshifter.
Michael Jordan's arm stretched halfway across the court when he slammed from half court.
See? Michael Jordan is the fey.
That's shapeshifting right there.
It is shapeshifting.
It's fucking weird.
But you hear like how Bigfoots disappear behind trees that shouldn't be able to disappear a Bigfoot?
Yeah.
But then like a chipmunk will come out the other side, or a moth or a hummingbird or some shit. So maybe there's some fey tendencies there. Some trickster-ish stuff going on.
Or the Ebens just cross did everything.
They just turned like...
They just made a super beast.
That was, yeah, like Rob Zombie.
Yes, I knew you were going to catch it.
Bigfoot is from inner Earth. They're an ultra-terrestrial that exists from within the core of the Earth. Wow. I don't know how they disappear. I don't know how they learn to pilot UFOs, but that's just a thing. Also, these areas where UFOs and Bigfoots coincide, another theory is that they are possible like window areas, essentially where the veil has thinned so much that these creatures and critters of all different types and shapes kind of like to appear in these places in clusters.
I like that.
Could be.
I like that.
Could be. But that's what I got for today. I don't know what Bigfoot is still.
I think...
I've never seen him.
No matter what the answer is, I think we're the closest that we'll get when we leave Michael Jordan in the equation.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't take into account that Michael Jordan was also in the same thing here.
Yeah, he dimension traveled, dude. So,
it's true.
And enough, dude. Not only that, not only did he dimension travel, but he had to fight aliens in that.
See? Everybody, if Michael Jordan's enemy is the aliens, how is not everybody's enemy the alien?
That's what I'm saying.
That's where I'm at.
Bro, that's so crazy. Space Jam is soft disclosure for Bigfoot, extraterrestrial, war.
That's where it is.
Linkage.
That's where it is.
Wow.
This
is crazy.
Gonna shout out some sources here if anybody wants to look them up. Use the heraldstandard.com for the Fayette County encounters, scenicsasquatch.com for the crazy bear story. There is a YouTube documentary called The Bigfoot Alien Connection Revealed. It's on the Extreme Mysteries YouTube. Swerve Podcast again put out an excellent episode, I think, in September on this. The Huff Post obviously talked about Bigfoot being an alien, and ufology.patrickgross.org also talked about the Frederick encounter that I had brought up there. So if anybody else wants to look into those, feel free to check them out. Again, the CIA files from Project Blue Book are available online. For those of you on the Patreon, I will drop them in there when this episode drops so you can look around and see about the non-existent UFO that didn't land, that did land, that there's evidence that it landed, but it didn't land. Also, the Bigfoot that came out of the woods that was a raccoon. So thanks for hanging out with us today. Hope your work week goes well. And yeah,
the Bigfoot that was a raccoon.
That's what. Hey, if the government says so, we gotta trust them. So yeah, check us out on our socials. And until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and remember, if you think you see a Bigfoot, the government's gonna tell you it's a raccoon. Size comparison, like, I don't know how you guys could mess that up. Let's do better.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.